Okay. All right. So our next item on the agenda is Wayne's presentation on the Pentagon cameras. And if you'll look down toward the end of your draft agenda, you'll see the PDF URL that you can download and watch while Wayne is giving his presentation. So, Wayne, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. And just in case you don't have the agenda right out in front of you, you can go to the website hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon, and you'll get to a list of the presentations. It'll be the top one. So it's hopeoutloud.org/Pentagon. So this is a review of the security camera analysis. There's some important information that's in it, and I want to just kind of go through that pretty briefly. There's a lot of slides. I'm going to go through them really really too fast. There was a limited, as we all know, there's a limited release of the cameras that captured the plane at the Pentagon. There's two security cameras of poor quality images. There are two adjacent cameras. They recorded slightly different perspectives. And the key thing that I'm going to talk about here is difference in times. Those differences have, the differences in the images on some of the slides have been asserted to be the result of fraud, not explainable by timing differences, and the people have made the claim have said they've looked at all the frames, and the only one that was different was the one in which the plane is traveling through this field. So slide three, the new Pearl Harbor has a core assertion that given a maximum fluctuation between the two cameras would translate to a difference of 25 feet in the positions of the plane. Can you provide a valid explanation for the large discrepancies seen in the two corresponding frames? And then he says, absent a valid explanation for this discrepancy, we must conclude that at least one of the two frames is the result of intentional manipulation or photoshopping. This analysis that's in the presentation will address that challenge and substantiate the validity of the security cameras and that the timing, in fact, is 4/30 of a second. The new Pearl Harbor's analysis focused on the five frames at the impact. It neglects other information that's in the video, such as Mickey Bell's truck speeding away, which is what I'm going to be talking about in the analysis of projectiles. Movement of the other objects within the frames between the two cameras show that they don't record at the same time. And with the Mickey Bell's truck and even the plane, you can quantify what the distance is and or the speeds are, the timing differences, and you can estimate the speed of the plane. Slide six just identifies the camera links if you want to see those. Slide seven shows the position of the cameras. There, one's in the guard shack, and the other one right in front of it is in a pedestal. Slide eight gives you the approximate field of view for the two cameras, and if you are looking towards the impact area or the area where you can see Mickey Bell's truck or the plane, they are looking basically in the same direction. Parallax is not a big deal. Slide 10 is the beginning of the five frames, and it is a image before the plane appears. Then we have the plane appearing. Then we have the next slide, 12, is the impact and the fireball that kind of saturates the camera. Slide 13, you can see the fireball evolving. And by the way, you can see a trailing air mass has pushed the burning material away from the ground. Slide 14, the fireball evolves. Slide 15 is the same thing, and I've also highlighted an illuminating moving piece of debris that, if I have time, I'll touch on at the very end. Camera B basically shows the same material. The plane is coming in, the slide 17 is before the plane comes in. Slide 18 is the plane is behind the pedestal. The 19, it hits the wall. Slide 20, the fireball begins to evolve. Slide 21, it continues, and slide 22 is it continues on even more, and there's also the illuminated moving debris caught in this camera. So I'm going to zoom over to Mickey Bell's truck on slide 23. Slide 24, Mizuko in New Pearl Harbor claims to have looked at all the frames carefully. He's got this list, but in fact he missed some that are much further down the list that will down the sequence that would allow him to look at the differences. So going on to slide 25, is a little bit about Mickey Bell. Mickey Bell, it says, who had been less than 100 feet from the initial impact of the plane, was nearly struck by one of the wings as it sped by him. In shock, he got into his truck, which had been parked in the trailer compound, and he sped away. And that's all I need to read about that. Immediately after this thing happened, which he says was a plane wing going by him, he hops in his truck and he drives across, and that's captured in the video. Slide 26 is an approximate route. I don't really know exactly where it was, but he's going to be seen going basically parallel or perpendicular to the field of view of the cameras. Slide 27 is the Pentagon before you get to before a plane hits. So this is I've registered where the control tower is and highlighted that. Slide 28 is I've circled where Mickey Bell's truck is when it's first seen through camera A. Slide 29 shows it in moving across the lawn. Slide 30, he's traveling further. He's kind of turned, kind of going away now. Slide 31, he's traveling away again. Then we're going to show camera B. We're going to see the same sequence, but it's going to be a little bit different. Slide 32, it's before Mickey Bell starts driving. It's actually before the fireball. I've got the control tower registered. And I've tried to register everything as carefully as I could. So that's slide 32. Slide 33, you can see Mickey Bell's truck. Actually, you can see a lot of the whole truck here, even though the camera's in the same location. So you can see there's some something's different between the two of them. Slide 34, the truck's is going behind the pedestal. Slide 35, it emerges from the pedestal. Slide 36, it kind of goes out the right side of the view. So if you look at you create a flip comparator to once everything's kind of aligned, you can kind of see how far things have moved, and you can determine the distances. Slide 38 shows some of the alignments where I'm going to be doing some of the zooming in. I've got some trees in the background that I've highlighted. I'll be using those for registration on this and other things. Camera B, I show the same thing so that we know where the vertical line at the fire tower is. I had to be very careful about all this because I'm looking at some relatively small distances. Slide 38 shows it, again, before impact. Just to show you what it's like, flip to slide 41. Now you can see Mickey Bell's truck. If you look really close, I think I've got the zoomed in version of this later in the show. I put the wheels, I put the back of the bed so you can see it. I've put a body around it on slide 43. I'm guessing it's 18 feet, although actually it doesn't matter how long it is. Slide 44 shows where the same image that's been moved. It's about 41 feet further. We just need to know how far the whole thing is going to have moved, what fraction of the distance it's going to have moved between the cameras. So, but anyway, so it's moving, the guess is 41 feet in 1 second, about 28 miles an hour. Slide 45 is camera B. Now you can see the rear of the truck. I've highlighted the outline of the truck here. Slide 46, I put the little wheels on. I put the bed on. Slide 47, I turn into a red truck this time. And so now I have the green truck from the previous camera. Now I've got the red truck from this one. I go to slide 48. I superimpose them. I look to see how the distance, and I estimate it to be so many pixels, which I translate to be 5.6 feet. 5.6 feet in out of 41 feet per second gives me 0.136 seconds. And that is pretty darn close to 0.1333, which is 4/30 of a second. So this establishes the timing of the cameras to be 4/30 of a second. And you can do this at home by yourself if you want. Slide 49 is a zoom in of the image where I actually put in the little wheels in the back of the bed for one of the images. Slide 50 is for the other one, and that's kind of what I use to move or determine the 5.6 feet. Slide 51 is again an overview, just showing that there's not much of a perspective distance a difference between the two cameras for the location where the big Mickey Bell's truck would have been. So the 552 is the observations. Mickey Bell's the images of Mickey Bell's truck show a small movement between the two cameras, about 5.6, and this basically validates the 4/30th of a second between the two cameras, and suggests that it determines that the new Pearl Harbor's analysis is flawed, and it really should be corrected. So that's slide 52. Now we're going to take a look at the plane images. I'm going to do the same approach. Slide 54 is the camera A. I've got the registration. I've highlighted the tops of trees. Got everything all lined up as best I can. Slide 55 is camera B's registration with the dark parts of the trees shown. Slide 56 is camera A without the plane. Camera 57 is with the plane. 58 is camera A with the plane and the markers, and I put a little dot on the tip of the nose and the tip of the tail. And then slide 59, I put a little envelope around the image, and it's a little red outline. And then on slide 60, I do the same thing with camera B. Slide 60 has no plane. Slide 61 has is camera B with the plane. Slide 62, I highlight the registration areas, the dark parts of the tree, I put a dot on the nose and the tail. I outline the plane with basically the same shape. Slide 64, I kind of put the two of them together because the length of the plane is 155 feet. It moves some fraction of that, so it doesn't really matter what the orientation is, whether it's straight, parallel, angle, latitude, whatever. About 60% or so of the length, so that makes it 106 feet. And so if it's moved 106 feet out of 777 feet per second, or whatever number you want to use, it comes out to be the same number, 0.136 seconds. And that is equivalent to the 4/30th of a second that we had talked about on Mickey Bell's truck. So the two of them are consistent. Well, Mickey Bell's truck sets it up, and this one validates the speed captured in the camera. So slide 65 just kind of goes through some of the arithmetic. If the plane moves 106 feet in 0.133 seconds, it's traveling at 542 miles an hour through those two frames, and that's the independent verification of the estimated plane speed of 530 to 560 miles an hour. Slide 66, I'll just take a couple of seconds here. Slide 66, I'm going to be looking at a large piece of debris. Slides 67 in the next few are going to highlight something traveling on the camera side of the aircraft control tower, and it's going to be moving. Didn't know quite what it was, but I've got a good guess as to what it is. But you can see in 67, it's highlighted, it's circled. 68, it's kind of bright, and it's moved. It's not as bright as it was. 69, it's not very bright at all. And slide 70, I'm assuming that it's over kind of near where the shadow is on the ground. Slide 71 shows what is in that area. That is the large piece of debris that's seen from the north. This picture is taken with the back to the control tower, looking towards Washington along Washington Boulevard. Slide 72 shows people running. You can see the trees, the left tree and the right tree, I call it tree A and tree B. This is located in the place in the inset there. So you can see that you would have had your back to the control tower to take that last picture. Slide 73 shows it. Luke Fraza picture, you can see it there. Slide 74 shows the Luke Fraza picture, another one showing it looking again towards the wall, towards actually the burning diesel generator trailer. And slide 75 suggests that maybe this is what Gordon Fury was talking about, because it's almost an identical location, a little bit closer to the road in Gordon's picture than this large piece of debris that if you go back and look at the Luke Fraza last one in slide 74, well, maybe it does from a distance look like it could be something like a landing gear. Anyway, that's my presentation, and hopefully I kept within my 15 minutes thereabouts, and so I'll take questions over.
Close enough for government work, Wade. Let's go into – we're still in Q&A mode, so if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, you have to keep it fairly brief here, because we do have other things on the agenda.
I'd like to get in, Ken. I'm not able to get in the queue, so.
Right. Okay, so star six, if you'd like to get into the Q&A queue, and we'll start with Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
I guess, Wayne, that I'm tempted to ask a rhetorical question, which is what would the official story do without you? When it comes to the Pentagon, you focus almost exclusively on what you claim is correct in the Pentagon official story, while you barely acknowledge that there is anything false in it. When any strong challenge is made to official assertions, you challenge not the official assertions themselves, but any attempt to find fault with them. And now your target is Massimo Mazzucco's film, and your weapon is an unsubstantiated secondhand account of a truck driver who didn't even seem to remember what happened, and whose alleged behavior can only be described as bizarre after this event. You referred to unnamed workers in your PowerPoint slide. I don't think you mentioned this out loud, but the unnamed workers who supposedly saw his truck hours later with plane rivets and plastic embedded in the truck. We have no photos, of course, of this. No one was quoted. No one was identified. So it's essentially, that part is essentially worthless as evidence. And you claim that the piece of the alleged fuselage that anyone could have picked up in their hands was a large piece of a 90-ton plane. I don't think you should be referring to that as a large piece of a plane. Anyway, my question is simple. Out of all the hours of public pronouncements that you've made on the Pentagon here and elsewhere, and I understand we have more of that to look forward to, what percentage of the time would you say that you have spent on this has been devoted to challenging aspects of the Pentagon official story, and what percentage to supporting the government's claim that a 757 impact occurred on the official flight path, approximately?
Well, so I'm going to simply say that what I am is an engineer. I'm looking at the evidence, and this is what I see. For some reason, you seem to have missed the entire point of the presentation, which was, if you look at the video, you can see a truck moving. You can see how fast it's going. You can see it progressing across the lawn, and you can see that the two cameras catch them at different times. In different locations at the time, and that determines that there is a 4/30th of a second difference between the cameras. The fact that there's something in the back of his truck, I just put the entire quote there because that's there. I didn't even mention it. But the whole point is that the camera is moving things across. Now, how much time do I spend? I talk a lot about the Twin Towers, the Building 7. The Pentagon's a whole lot more difficult to figure out what's wrong with the mechanism of damage. Matter of fact, everything is consistent with what almost every witness has said. Large plane impact. George Amon said it. Lagasse said it. Chadwick Brooks said it. All these people said large plane impact into the Pentagon. All I'm saying is, yes, indeed, large plane impact into the Pentagon. I put together, and you said, I think you're setting the stage for it, a 5.5-hour lecture on all the evidence that now includes new evidence such as the leading wing slat between light pole number 3 and the wall. I've got that stuff that's in there. It's now documented as to where this thing was. There is no doubt that a large plane hit the Pentagon. I need to figure out, and I need your help, given all this forensic evidence that supports a large plane impacting it, what is the challenge points for this, for the Pentagon? It is a really important question, one that I'm grappling with, because all I come up with is Cheney says, whips around and says, have you heard that the orders changed? You know, there are things out there, but I'm an engineer focusing on the evidence, the physical evidence, and I have gone through an amazing amount of detail in order to come up with what's actually happening. You know, another thing I'll mention that's in this lecture is the explosion of Portugal's press conference, in fact, is a sonic boom. How do I know that? Audrey Barn at 10:10 in 3 seconds reports this, or that's on, as she's there. And on CBS 9, you've got Straddle and Frank Herzog on both sides of the Pentagon, the Potomac, talking about the sonic boom that they both heard at the same 10:10 and 30 seconds by the time they get to talk. I mean, there's nothing to support internal explosions, nothing that I can find. All I can see is a large plane impact. And how the heck did they do this? And I don't think that Connie Hunter was the guy who did it. You know, it just seems really ridiculous.
But you never talk about that, though.
Yes, I do. Well, okay, so
no.
Go watch.
No, you don't.
Craig, we need to move on.
Go watch the 5.5-hour video, and you'll see it. Over.
Thanks for your response, Wayne. And then Barbara also has a comment or question, so let's go to Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, thanks, everybody. I first want to clarify very briefly, because it's not clear for people who haven't studied this, like Wayne and I have very, very in detail, that what Wayne is referring to in his analysis by the so-called time difference or fluctuation between the similarly numbered frames, for instance, the two frame 23s in the two security cameras. What he's referring to is the difference between, the alleged difference between the time of the click of those frames taken in the two security cameras. Now, it's a fact that the two security cameras take a frame every second, not every 1/40th or 4/40th of a second. So I just wanted to clarify that. Those frames are taken every second. All right, just one a second. Now, my question to Wayne, two questions. Why isn't the 5.6-foot difference between the perspectives of the Mickey Bell truck simply accounted for by the distance between the two security cameras? Do you know how far apart those two security cameras are? I think that will be our explanation, not a time difference in the click of the cameras. My understanding is that those cameras were CCTV synchronized to ensure that they were the clicks were taken, the frames were taken at the precise same time. And next, the Gordon Ferry sketch slide towards the end, the very end, which you claim or propose that Gordon's large, huge four-wheeled landing gear assembly that he saw for a whole hour on the Pentagon lawn was this ridiculous piece that you show in the previous slide. I am certain that's not the case, but I will be sending that photograph to Gordon, and I will ask him. I know that he will laugh at it, but I will get back to the group. And finally, in slide 59, in which you outline an alleged outline of a plane, and I would like to say that you assume there's a plane and assume there's an impact in this whole thing as usual. You're assuming what needs to be proven. In slide 59, you say, where you give the outline of the alleged plane, then what in God's name is the white structure at the very right of that frame? I want to know your answer to that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'm not sure I remember all the points here, but first of all, the cameras do take a snap every 1 second. They are not taken at the same time. That's what we're observing here. They are recorded at in increments of 1/30th of a second. Mizuko asserts that they are taken. There's one, and then the next one is no more than 1/30th of a second. But in fact, what we've observed is that it is taken at increments of a 30th of a second. So this one is at 4/30 of a second.
Let me interrupt in just a second here. In fairness to Barbara's question, it seems to me that she's asking whether the difference in the perception of the truck's position can be accounted for by the difference in the camera's position rather than a difference in the synchronization of the picture taking. Can you respond to that?
Sure. So, for example, if you go to slide 51, you can see that wherever the truck is, the two arrows at the back that define the point of view for camera B and the orange line for camera A, if you go draw a line straight between those two towards control tower, you'll see that there's almost no angle difference. And then, of course, because there is some difference, what I did is I aligned the horizon with the side of the building, so that that would have been accounted for, and then elements in the treetops in the back. So I've aligned everything to be to eliminate that as much as possible. The camera that actually the camera that shows the truck move further to the right is actually the camera to the left. And if there was anything it would have done is it would have showed it closer to the building rather than further away. So the error in the distance is actually would be the distance traveled would be greater if they were identically located. But the parallax impact of this distance of about 500 feet, 500 or 600 feet, isn't significant at that angle. Now, is there
another
question?
Okay, please clarify. Because these frames are taken every 1 second, what on earth do you mean by they're reported every 1/30th of a second? It doesn't connect for me.
Right. So if you take a look at the different cameras, what you'll see and you can see the timings at the bottom of them because I left the timings in the image. You can see that camera A, I've got a picture that's something, and then 1 second later there's another one. Then the next 1 second after that. So camera A is taking them 1 second after 1 second at a time, at a time, at a time. Camera B is doing the same thing. Every second there's another image. So it's every second. Right. But when you
compare
the two
of them, so what are you saying? 1/30th of a second. What do you mean by that? So, that's dividing the second into 30 pieces. But it's only taking a frame. These cameras only take a frame once every second.
Right. So there are two cameras, and they get recorded on the same device. And if you go to Mizuko's new Pearl Harbor, he goes through this, and he just makes the assertion, unsubstantiated, that it can be no more than 1/30th of a second.
The difference between identical frame numbers?
He says no more than 1/30th of a second because that's how the time at which they get recorded.
Just for everybody understanding, what Wayne is saying is that Mizuko is claiming that there is a alleged time difference between when the two cameras click and take their frames of approximately 1/30th of a second difference, and Wayne is saying it's 4/30th of a second difference. But each camera only takes the frame every second. All right.
You got it, Barbara. Thank you very much for clarifying.
Right. Okay.
You got it now.
That's great. Cool. Okay.
That's great.
All right. Was there anything else from Barbara's questions that needs to be responded to here?
Yes, the Gordon Ferry sketch.
Okay.
Oh, so the only thing I can say about that is I looked through my archives of photos from the area, videos from the area, and there's nothing of significance there except medical gurneys. I mean, that roll around, and he certainly isn't going to look at that. Through all the emergency traffic vehicles that were there, it's unclear how he could have seen this thing. Anyways, if you go look at the photos of the emergency, the ambulances and the emergency vehicles. If he's sitting on the other side of the highway, having to look over the HOV lane barriers, all that stuff, through the little bits and pieces you can see when trucks, ambulances move away, I don't know how he could have seen anything anyways, because somebody the pictures.
Well, Rain, the bottom line is he's saying you don't believe him, and I do, and he's done a sworn jurored affidavit. But I will send him the photograph you think it might be, and I'll get back to everybody.
Okay.
Okay. That's fair, enough. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Barbara. All right. So that ends our Q&A. Wayne, thanks for your presentation. We're ready to move on now.